بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وأما الأحاديث فالأول عن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: عرضت علي الأمم فرأيت النبي ومعه الرهيت، والنبي ومعه الرجل والرجلان، والنبي ليس معه أحد، إذ رفع لي سواد عظيم. سلنتي حديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم narrated by Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma, in which he said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the ummats, the nations of the past, were presented to me. So in the dream of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala showed him various ummats of the past. So he says, I saw a Nabi of Allah, and with him there was just a small group of followers with him. So only a few people brought iman in him, and he had this small group of followers. Then I saw a Nabi, and with him just one or two followers. And then I saw a Nabi who had no followers. Imagine, this Nabi tried desperately, inviting the people, his people, but nobody believed in him, nobody accepted him, so he had no followers. Every Nabi wished to have most number of followers. And this was the desire of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, then suddenly, a very large group, huge mass, was presented to me. فَظَنَنْتُ أَنَّهُمْ أُمَّتِي. I felt that this is my ummah, such a large group. فَقِيلَ لِي هَذَا مُوسَى وَقَوْمُهُ. It was said to me, no, this is Musa alayhi salatu salam and his people. وَلَكِنْ بَتْ أُنْظُرْ إِلَى الْأُفُقِ. Look at the horizon. فَنَظَرْتُ. I saw. فَإِذَا سَوَادٌ عَظِيمٌ. It was a huge group of people, very large group. فَقِيلَ لِي أُنْظُرْ إِلَى الْأُفُقِ الْآخَرِ. Then I was said, look at the other side of the horizon. فَإِذَا سَوَادٌ عَظِيمٌ. A huge mass of people. فَقِيلَ لِي هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكَ. This is your ummah. This is much larger than the ummah of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. وَمَعَهُمْ سَبْعُونَ أَلْفًا يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ بِغِيْرِ حِسَابٍ وَلَا عَذَابٍ. And it was said to me that this is your ummah. On the right hand side, left hand side, the entire horizon full of such people, a huge mass of people. And then it was said that with them, there are 70,000 others who will enter Jannah without any reckoning, without any punishment. No reckoning for 70,000 people of this ummah. ثُمَّ نَهَضَ. Rasulullah then explained to the Sahaba, he rose, فَدَخَلَ مَنْزِلَهُ. He went into his house. Whilst he was inside his house, فَخَاضَ النَّاسُ فِي أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ بِغِيْرِ حِسَابٍ وَلَا عَذَابٍ. The Sahaba who was seated there, they began discussing. Who do you think that these people are, these 70,000 who will enter Jannah without any hisab, without any punishment, without any reckoning? فَقَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ فَلَعَلَّهُمْ الَّذِينَ صَحِبُوا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Some of them felt that, I think one person said, that these people, these 70,000 people, are the Sahaba of Rasulullah. That is, they themselves, the companions of Rasulullah. Because obviously the position is so great. They in the company of Rasulullah, so they must be got this virtue, this fazilat, that they'll enter Jannah without any reckoning. وَقَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ. Somebody else said, فَلَعَلَّهُمْ الَّذِينَ وُلِدُوا فِي الْإِسْلَامِ فَلَمْ يُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا. So somebody said, no, probably these are people who were born in Islam, and they never associated any partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَذَكَرُوا أَشْيَاءَ. And various sahaba gave their opinions. فَخَرَجَ عَلَيْهِمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Rasul then emerged. فَقَالَ مَا الَّذِي يَتَخُوضُونَ فِيهِ. What were you people discussing? فَأَخْبَرُوهُ. They informed Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم that we felt. Some of them gave this opinion that it was probably the Sahaba who were meant in this hadith, what you may explain now, the 70,000 will enter Jannah without any reckoning. And somebody gave this opinion, that opinion. فَقَالَ. Rasulullah then mentioned, هُمُ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْقُونَ وَلَا يَسْتَرْقُونَ وَلَا يَتَطَيَّرُونَ وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. The qualities Rasul mentioned is, in this particular hadith, that these are such people who do not cast any spells, incantations. وَلَا يَسْتَرْقُونَ. They don't ask any person to cast a spell upon them. In other words, when they are sick. In the time of Jahiliyyah, there is what they used to do, that a person who knew some incantation, then he would read it upon the person who was sick, and they felt that this would cure the person. Rasulullah in this particular hadith, some commentators explain this as they do not cast any spells or did not ask any spells to be cast upon them, talking about that ruqya or that incantation which has kalimat, words of shirk in it, or the incantations of the jahiliyyah period. In other words, those words which are not, didn't have any iman in it, it was only full of kufr. People used to use these type of words before, and they would then read it upon the person. What is meant by this hadith is not those permissible incantations and ruqya, which we term as ruqya al-shar'iyya, which are Quranic verses. For example, if a person recites Surah Fatiha, then there are many ahadith of Rasulullah that explain if you read Surah Fatiha on a sick person, inshallah he'll become cured. Now that is not meant in here. In this particular hadith, they're talking about those words that in time of Jahiliyyah they would use, which were kalimat, not of iman, but of kufr, where shirk words were used, not invoking the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but invoking the help of the gods or shayateen. So these are such people who do not cast any spells, nor do they ask cast to be spelled upon them. وَلَا يَتَطَيَّرُونَ. They did not believe in omen, in evil omen. There were people who were superstitious, and up till today, people are very superstitious. There was a particular practice in the time of the Jahiliyyah, where a person, if he wished to embark on a journey, for example, or undertake any task, then he would place a bird on his hand. Then he will flap his hand, or flap the bird. If the bird flew onto the right-hand side, then he would take a good omen of it, and then he would feel, I must embark on this voyage, or I must do this work. It's a good omen. If it flew onto the left-hand side, we call it tasha'um, then he would take it to be a bad omen, and he would feel, no, it's not good for me, and I should not embark on this journey or undertake this task. So this was the practice that they had. They believed in this particular thing as either giving them a good omen or a bad omen. There were other practices. For example, a person felt that if he marries in Shawwal, then there'll be bad luck for him. A man felt if he opens his shop and the very first customer he gets is the blind person, then he will close his shop down. So Rasulullah said there is no such thing as bad omens. وَلَا يَتَطَيِّرُوا. These people do not practice anything of this sort. وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. But they have complete trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have full trust. And this is the chapter we're doing. بَابُ التَّوَكُّلِ بَابُ الْيَقِينِ وَالتَّوَكُّلِ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Having full conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and placing your firm trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mentioned last week that we mentioned a few verses of the Holy Quran. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Having tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after using the permissible means that Allah Ta'ala has given us. This is for the general ummah, for you and I. That we must use the halal means provided to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After using those means and asbab, then we place our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, I place my trust upon you. After having used the correct means, now to make the thing happen is only in your hands. It's not that the means that I am using, that is the thing that's going to bring me success now. Use the correct means and then place trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah wishes to give it that function, then Allah ta'ala will make it function properly. For example, simple, we'll use a knife to cut something. And if Allah wishes the knife to cut, it will cut. If Allah wishes otherwise, like how we saw in the story of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, it did not cut. So use the correct means, the jais, permissible means, and then place your trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is for you and I. Yes, there is that group of people, according to Allama Khattabi rahmatullah and many other muhaddithun, they are one above. They are called akhassul khawas, a very special group. And they are such that their tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such that they do not use any means, and they have such a high, strong yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they place their trust solely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In their case, if any harm comes to them, or nothing happens for them, then they never complain. Now you and I are weak. If we don't use any means, and then a person becomes sick, then we start complaining. And then it can lead us towards kufr, or uttering words of kufr. And therefore Shariat has told us to use the proper means, and then place our reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So some of the ulama say that this group, the special group, will enter Jannah without any reckoning, are such who have complete trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the very beginning. However, others felt, the explanation I gave first, that what is meant, they don't have practice any of the evil practices which Shariat has prohibited. And they place trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Rasul mentioned this to the Sahaba, a particular Sahabi by the name of Ukkasha bin Mihsan radiallahu ta'ala, فَقَامَ عُكَّاشَ بِنُ مِحْسَن radiallahu ta'ala, فَقَالَ اُدْعُ اللَّهَ أَن يَجْعَلَنِي مِنْهُمْ Ya Rasulullah, make dua that I am amongst these 70,000 people. فَقَالَ أَنْتَ مِنْهُمْ Rasul said, you are from them. The moment he said this, ثُمَّ قَامَ رَجُلٌ آخَرٌ Another Sahabi stood up. فَقَالَ اُدْعُ اللَّهَ أَن يَجْعَلَنِي مِنْهُمْ Ya Rasul, make dua, I must also be amongst the 70,000 people. فَقَالَ سَبَقَكَ بِهَا عُكَّاشَ Rasul said, that Ukkasha just beat you to the draw. Ukkasha just preceded you. Rasul was so polite, he was so kind. He didn't say, no, you cannot make the grade. You're not from them. He said, you know what, Ukkasha just beat you. Ulama explained, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired Rasulullah at that particular time, oh, send wahi to him that Ukkasha has met the qualities of such people. And therefore he has made the grade. He is successful. He'll be among these people. The other person, there were a little bit more qualities that he required to just master, and then he would get that position. At that particular time, he didn't have those qualities. And therefore, Rasulullah very politely told him that Ukkasha just beat you. He just preceded you. So he didn't make him feel bad as well. Or it was such that Rasulullah at that particular time was given permission just for one person to make dua. And therefore, Ukkasha already got the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This hadith has been mentioned in Bukhari and Muslim. Allah ta'ala, make us among those people who are will enter Jannah without any hisab kitab. When we make dua to Allah, Allah, make us among these 70,000 people, even though we don't have these qualities, we are weak people. Oh Allah, grant us these qualities that have been mentioned, that we have firm reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.